Okay, we'd like to welcome everyone out tonight to our city council special meeting held March 1st, 6:30 PM. We'll start off with a roll call.
Here.
Paul?
Here.
Mike?
Here.
Paul?
Here.
Ron?
Here.
And Sam, Paul's meeting is still plowing snow. So he doesn't know if he's gonna be here or not.
Okay. Okay. Where did Shay disappear to? I seen him come in.
He stepped out for just a sec.
He stepped out for a sec and he's up, man.
This is the shortest agenda we've had for quite a while. But it could be one long or short.
Yes, it could.
We can pass these out. I think he had some copies of duties for city administrator. We fired for wanting to use that as a example or something, but. I assume you wanted to pass these out.
I imagine you did.
I'll give him back.
What else we need to talk about? Just a sec, because it's not on the agenda. So Seth, reading this here, are you like under a 3-year contract with them then?
No, I'm kind of on a evergreen contract. I have a performance evaluation every year, but it just kind of renews from year to year. And then it would cease upon termination or resignation.
Just where it said in here, you know, term for up to 3 years. That's how I didn't know if it was like a 3-year contract that you had with them.
You can structure it however you want.
Shay, we'll turn the time over to you.
Sorry for my tardiness.
No, you're all right.
Do you want to cover city admin first, or do you want to run over to CIB real quick?
Let's do the admin deals first, manager admins, since that's first on our agenda.
Okay.
Do you want to come up? We'll let you come up the deal there, and then everybody can probably hear you better.
Seth passed this out to all of you already.
Yep. Yep.
This is Nephi's. This is the city administrator form of government, so you're not changing your actual form of government. You would just be hiring a full-time city administrator with this code. And this basically runs over what their powers and duties are. So it's similar to actually what we brought before you when we proposed this city administrator program with 6 County. We actually pulled several of this language and we put that together. So it's attending your meetings, it's providing key points in your discussions. It's helping carry out all of your programs with all of your staff. It's acting as your purchasing agent, working with closely with the mayor. Obviously, the relationship with the mayor is different depending on who's in office, and so that can vary. Some mayors want to be more involved and work much more closely with an administrator. Other mayors kind of just give it to the administrator and let them run things. And then they obviously bring things to the council and present with their recommendation. Outside of that, an administrator typically doesn't have hiring and firing power. You can assign hiring and firing power, but it sometimes aligns more with the city manager. All of these things that we're discussing, and that we'll probably discuss further tonight with questions that you have, will in effect determine your role as a council, your role as a mayor, and then if you decide to hire someone into this position full-time or not hire someone into this position full-time, you're really choosing the dynamic of those that have influence over the city. And so you have people here, interest that's being shown, this is a good discussion to have. So you guys are at a weird point with your size. So I was just talking with some of our staff at Six County today and running over kind of where you're at, and you're really like the city in the region that's kind of on that edge. We have a few that are bigger in population, and then we have a ton that are towns or very small cities. And then you guys are like around that 3,700 mark, I believe, in population. So you're kind of
35, I think, where we're at.
Okay. So you're bouncing up. You're probably going to receive growth. And so right now is, in my opinion, a good time to have this discussion for that reason as well. I would hope that the discussion tonight can be led more so by your questions rather than me just continually talking, because I can talk on the topic over and over again, but if we're not running over what you're interested in, I don't think we're fulfilling the purpose of the meeting. So maybe we'll just start by opening up for questions and we can guide things from there.
Okay.
Questions for the council.
So Six County, this is a pilot program through the Six County Association of Governments.
Yeah.
Acting as the city and administrator. Is that correct?
So when we first pitched the program, we pitched it as a shared city administrator. Really, we're not coming in and acting as a true city administrator. So
okay.
We're providing services that align with what a city administrator might do. Obviously, I'm not here full time. I'm on your in your office with your staff all week. I'm not doing everything a city administrator would do for you, just taking on some of those responsibilities. The whole goal of that program is to provide that for those that can't afford a full-time city administrator, but that still need the services in our region, right? And so where you guys are kind of on that edge, it's reasonable to consider bringing someone on full-time because your needs probably exceed what our program and our time can fully do for you. Now, we can still help. We can still...
That's what I was going to ask. So you'd mentor and help if we was to hire one, then you'd be here to help. But,
yeah.
And even like grant writing grants and stuff like that, I mean,
yeah,
help out on a lot of that stuff. So
yeah, our program's flexible. So like if you just needed help with a couple different components and they were to take over other areas, we're more than happy to stay on board and work on those specific things. But I'm not going to be able to come in your office every day of the week and provide that full true city administration.
Every other day, right?
pilots.
Maybe one in four, four pilots, but even then, it's like...
I understand. So what's the discussion, what are our options looking like after the pilot program? You mentioned there might be some funding through the state legislature.
Yeah.
To continue this.
So we'll know for sure, probably by this coming weekend. So the session, I believe, closes on Friday. As of this morning, for the last update that I have from legislatures, the funding got kicked out. So it is currently not being funded.
Beyond the pilot program.
Yeah, beyond the pilot program. So if we don't get any funding from the legislature, we would go to that initial pitch of a fee-for-service model where we provide you with a list of things that you wanted us to do for you, and we provide a price for those tasks, and then you could choose what you wanted from us and just pay based on that. We are hopeful that it still gets bumped in. The governor's really pushing it, so he's spoken publicly about it multiple times, and there's been some negotiation talks. Even last night, they were in a negotiation on this same topic, and they were talking about giving us half the amount of funding, so we're trying to compromise and get it pushed in, but we'll see. We were initially very highly ranked in subcommittees, and then somebody found something that they wanted more and pushed it in. So we'll see. But we should know by the end of the week.
So you guys, the six county, you're really not, I mean, can you guys manage personnel and fulfill HR duties, or is that really not something?
That's a good question. So you're in the pilot, right? So we're learning as we go. We're only in the end of month two of the pilot. We don't know for sure, to be brutally honest with you, like, be really straight up, but it's a big task. And so we've been talking through it, we've been thinking through it. We can put together personnel policies, we can help put in place systems for employee evaluations and that type of thing. But it's really weird, in my opinion, for someone like me, for a guy from Six County, that all of your staff don't really know, right, to come into your office and be over your personnel. So, especially if I'm there even once a week, it's like, I'm this random guy that they don't know, that the council is saying, hey, come into our place of work and tell us what our responsibilities are and what we're supposed to do and evaluate how we're doing. And so that dynamic is really kind of awkward a little bit, and I don't feel that's the best place for me to be, is fully running all the personnel responsibilities. We can help with like your personnel policy, we can write that, we can propose it to you, like I said, put in place evaluation measures, that type of thing. But as far as going through all of those processes, working with your employees on a day-to-day basis, having those weekly meetings. I mean, if you talk with Seth, I've spent a little bit of time with him, but he works closely with all of his directors and meets with them all the time and has an open door. They're walking in and out day in and day out. It would be difficult for me to fulfill that role.
Yeah.
Me or anybody else that comes in into this program.
Even beyond the pilot program, you know.
Yeah.
If we hire you for your services, yeah. Beyond that, you're still not going to be here on a daily basis.
Correct.
I really don't have a question. I just kind of got a comment. I think this would be an excellent time to put somebody on as a city administrator on a six-month trial basis, to where we don't have a contract with him, but at the end of that six-month period, then we can weigh it out whether it's worth it or if it's or not.
Right, they can help him out.
The sad part is we're under the contract. We're almost not really using our money effective until at least we get through the pilot program. In my opinion.
We're not paying them any money.
We're not paying them any money. That's what I'm saying. We need to use them the whole length as much as we possibly can.
In conjunction with it, somebody we put in as an administrator for 6 months, just so that they can work together and maybe, you know, whoever we put in there, teach them something, you know, see if it would be beneficial to have an administrator full-time after these guys are done.
So, yeah, just to clarify, if you were to hire someone on full-time, it would be my recommendation that you look for somebody with a wealth of experience already. You're not trying to push somebody into the position that's
and train them.
Coming in to just
right.
start from the beginning. I mean, there are candidates that could have a skill set that can learn quickly and adapt and come in and do a really, really good job. But if you're going to hire someone on full-time and push them in and be your city administrator, my hope would be that you would be hiring them on and be willing to pay the wage to hire somebody on that would allow for a seasoned professional to come in and really transform your town. They're essentially going to be able to come in and implement systems that are going to pay for themselves plus more. Right?
Yeah, like Seth, he would have paid for his salary, right? I mean,
that's very valuable.
Yeah.
So, back up just one thing. One question I had on grants. To me, it seems like we get the smaller grants through six county, you know, to do the initial, the study. But then it seems like lately the engineer company that we picked to do that has then been taking the grant application and running with it.
Yeah, that's common. So if you're working with an engineering firm, it's very common in our region, especially with Jones and Mill, Ensign, Sunrise.
Yeah, all of them, it seems like lately, kind of almost get the study of a 50-50 match grant from you guys or from Six County or somebody that way, and then in that grant is actually the hiring of the engineer, and then it seems like the engineer's been doing the grant from there.
Yeah, a lot of the engineering firms will fully administer your grant programs for you. That's part of their fee for service. Especially for your larger projects. So
yeah.
You're not on there.
Okay.
Yep. So the only problem about hiring someone with a lot of experience is, like you say, we're going to have to pay.
Correct.
Big time.
Yep.
Okay. Well, and they're going to want to move here. They're going to want their family to come with. And they're going to want something that's attractive.
Yep.
If they're not going to want a temporary.
No.
Yeah, so if you're looking at hiring somebody, you're probably that has experience and would bring a lot of value. An example to look at would be Gunnison, right? Gunnison just hired a full-time city administrator. I've worked with him a little bit. He's been good so far from what I've seen. I think that they advertised the top of their range somewhere in the 90s, $90,000 range. I don't know what he's actually being paid.
110, I think, is what he's.
Okay, and so.
And then you'd have benefits on top, right?
Yep, benefits on top. So really good city administrators in the state are getting paid anywhere from 120, and then in the really big cities, they're getting paid up towards 200,000 plus. And that's just your salary. That's prior to the benefits and everything. But then again, you have to remember, if you bring in somebody that can provide extreme value, they will more than pay for themselves by implementing new revenue streams for you. And that's different than me just bringing an ordinance that's going to provide this percentage of revenue for this one thing. They can go through your whole financial system and help with implementing all sorts of fees and things. It takes a whole new game. Right?
So can we stop you there and ask Seth what he's brought into Nephi?
Yeah,
on that line?
A lot of what I did when I first got here, maybe just go a little bit over my background, you know, where I came from. I started my career up in Park City as a budget analyst, worked on a lot of things for them in that arena. But our budget was only kind of a six-month deal, and then the rest of the time, our department sort of lent us out to different departments. So I got to work with all kinds of departments in that city. And my colleagues at that time both wanted to become city managers, and that was what kind of planted the idea in my head. To me, Park City was just a pit stop on my way to the private market, but it just didn't work out that way. So my next stop was a town in Oregon where I became their finance director for about 5.5 years, and then became their city manager for about 3.5 years, and then from there I came to Nephi, and I've been there about 6 years now as their administrator. So I've seen a lot of different things, a lot of different ways that cities manage, and a city manager is different than an administrator. I've been under both situations. I would say, you know, I didn't have to do this in Sandy because they were pretty well established. When I got to Nephi, one of the first things we did was just kind of what we've done here, a big needs assessment and a revenue assessment. Where is your money coming from, and what kind of needs do you have? What kind of needs do you need to take care of right now, and what can we kind of plan out over the next 5 to 10 years? And how are we going to pay for all that? And so we just take a whole look, a holistic look about what you're doing, and that was what we did in Nephi. And one of the things that I noticed that we didn't have was our transient room tax. That was income that we could be collecting but weren't. And that started when we first instituted, that was about 20 grand a year just for that. And that's a general revenue that you can use for whatever you want. We looked at various fees. So when you're providing a service and you're not charging for that service, that means your tax dollars are covering that. And your tax dollars are really meant to go to cover the services that you provide for the general community. I don't know which departments you have, but when you're doing snow plowing or police services or library or anything like that, recreation, you know, those are services that you're providing with those general taxes. But if you're providing a specific service, so say you're renting out a park, or you're especially with developers, if you're providing any kind of plan review and you're doing that without collecting a fee, that means your taxpayers are paying the bill for that review. And that really should fall on the developer. That shouldn't be something your taxpayer should be paying for. So just a whole evaluation of like what kind of services you're providing and are you collecting the right revenue for it. And that frees up other revenue. I have a unique budgeting system that we implement in Nephi that I think really changes things. I let departments carry their budget savings over from fiscal period to fiscal period. So it incentivizes them to save money because it stays within their department. And the sell I have for the departments is that, you know, if you go in for a budget request, it's a whole lot easier to say, hey, this is what I need in my department, and I've saved the money for it. That's a lot easier for you guys to say yes to that than to say, hey, I need this, and I have no idea where you're coming up with the money for that. And it's worked out really well for the 6 years I've been there. And we've seen consistently over the 6 years, departments are doing that. They're saving the money. I also assign them revenues. And so if there's a certain amount of revenues that are specific to their department, like fingerprinting for the police department, or concessions or something for recreation, that stays with the department. That means they treat it just kind of like a business. So if I have a way to earn more revenue or do something that brings my department more revenue, then I get to keep that. And it's, again, help those departments to look for new revenue sources. And one of our things our treasurer had been doing is a service for the county, and they've just been doing it for free. And I'm like, this is taking a lot of your time. And he goes, yeah, you're right. We started calculating it out and figuring, hey, we should be charging for this service. And they did. And that was a revenue source that stayed with the treasurer department. And they kept that from year to year. And again, that's less taxes that have to fund that department when you are providing a service for a fee. So just things like that, that you start to evaluate and figure out how can we do these things in a more efficient, effective manner. And then that frees up your tax dollars to do some of the other things that your city wants you to do, which never goes away. You always have things that you're going to be requested to do.
So I guess the question I got for you is, what's the difference between the city manager and administrator? What's the difference in authorities?
Typically, a manager is your CEO of the city. A lot of powers are granted to the city manager, and they manage the entire city staff. They fall under that umbrella. They typically have higher fire authority. And then the council manages the manager. So the manager is kind of that liaison between the staff and the council. There's not a ton of city, true city manager forms of government in Utah. They kind of did away with it in 2008 at the state level. You can still do it. It's just harder to do. Like, you got to dig up old city state code and reform your government. I think it takes a vote, and it's just a lot more difficult to do. An administrator works under the direction of the mayor, who is still the CEO of the city or CEO of the city. And you're just trying to hire someone with some professional background who's been familiar with cities and bring that experience into the city. But the mayor still is the chief executive officer of the city. And then it's whatever duties you want to assign to the administrator. And that's why, as Shay mentioned, it can vary from city to city. So some administrators have that higher fire authority and some don't. I don't. Our council makes those decisions. I get to carry it out, so the council can say, go fire or hire this person, and I go do that. But it's really still their decision. So it just depends. Depends on how you want to outline those duties.
So the council would have the authority to decide what authorities the administrator had.
Yes,
right?
Through ordinance, yeah. So
yeah, through ordinances or whatever, yeah. Whether he was over public works or he was over power. What I'm saying is the council can decide just what his authorities are, more or less. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yep.
So really you can take an administrator and you can do the council. You can make him a manager.
Yeah.
You can make him a manager and still leave some authorities with the mayor. I guess that's what I'm getting to. We got too many problems. And I'm honestly looking at the best thing that we can do to solve the problems here in this city. And I'm just torn. I'm trying to sit and listen.
It's a big call. I don't envy it. It's a tough call, and as Shay pointed out, you're right on that bubble.
The bubble of what?
Growth.
A manager or an administrator?
Yeah, meeting that kind of thing, and it's tough to say, how are we going to fund this? How are we going to take care of this? And I don't know what your financial situation looks like. I'd have to look at your financial statements and things like that, but that's tough. That's a tough call to just make.
It says here that the administrator would be the budget officer.
Yes.
And said he'd be the budget officer for the city, including operations of the city budget, exercise budgetary control over the city departments and services, responsibility of the official operations of the city, and advising mayor and city council the financial conditions and needs of the city. So what happens to our treasurer?
Well, I work with my treasurer very closely, so the budget side is not, I always call it kind of fake money. Budget is your plan. That's your financial plan. The treasurer deals with the real money. Where are your cash investments going? How much money do we need to be having in the bank account to make our accounts payable run this week? You know, they're dealing with the real money. Your budget is your financial plan. This is what I think we're going to have in revenues over the next year. And this is what I think we're going to need to spend over the next year. And the state makes you balance those. So you have to create a way to do that. You don't want to overestimate your revenues, and you don't want to underestimate your expenses. And then how to manage that. I have a specific way, and the council's given me the authority to run that budget the way I'd like to. And that's the system I kind of briefly described to you. Not a lot of cities do that. That's just a system that I've learned, and I think is the best. And they give me the authority to run it that way, and it's been successful.
Okay, how do you feel about a treasurer and the city manager or the city administrator being the same person? Does that work?
I have seen those things. Yeah, I've seen combined roles, sure. I was in fact, in Sandy, I was the, I was an assistant city manager and the finance director, so I was kind of running both titles. It can be a busy role if you've got two different duties, but it's not unheard of.
Well, I remember what John, I forgot his last name, the dinner owl fought it.
Hatterley.
The more eyes you have on something, the better.
Hatterley.
Yeah.
He's our other.
And in my mind, it's good to have two sets eyes on.
Absolutely. I'm sure he talked to you about internal controls.
Yeah.
That's a really important thing. I don't know how you guys run your payables each week, but our council reviews ours. So I look at them, our finance director looks at them, our council looks at them.
Yeah.
The more eyes you have on it, the better.
Right.
Yeah. So your advice would be to have two, the treasurer and the...
No, I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying if you do, you're going to want some other internal control to take a look at the things that are being done. So, for instance, accounts payable is prepared by our treasurer, but I review it. I don't pay the bills. I don't even sign the checks. I don't have signing authority, but I review it and I sign off on it. My finance director prepares the bank statements and does the bank reconciliation, and then I review it and I sign off on it. And the auditors like to see that. They like to see that there were two sets of eyes on financial statements and things that are going through the city, and that someone else is looking at it.
That's kind of what we're doing now with Dave and Natalie and Jeannie. Because we have the two eyes on it right now.
Your auditor can help you kind of wade through that too.
Yeah. I just, you know, remember he advising us to have internal controls in place.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some really good audits and we don't want to.
I just want to ask, have city council, if they wanted to ask questions first, then we'll open it up out there.
Okay. I don't want
so to. If we did, we'd probably want a person that understands grants, how to write grants, how to find money.
That's good. Yeah, I like grants and I look for grants. But I also my goal has always been to try and help cities be self-sufficient, because grants come and go, and sometimes right. Money's there and sometimes it's not. And if you become dependent on something, especially on an ongoing basis, that's tough. And so I always like to find ways that you can become self-sufficient. I didn't even touch the utility side, but that's another aspect of capital planning, mapping out your projects for the next 5-10 years and figuring out if your fees are high enough that you're covering your operational costs, your future repairs and maintenance of the system, plus future projects and how you're going to finance those. Because typically you don't have the money and you got to save for years and years and years, and you got to go into debt for most of your projects. And so are your fees going to cover your debt service and your operations and everything else? And you know, you should structure your fees so that you're looking at those quite often. You can cover them.
Questions out.
Would they be able to stop all the squabbling between the council and the employees against employees? There's just too much of that going on. Would the city manager be able to stop, say, grow up and stop your bickering? It's ridiculous.
Well, I have to say, there's no squabbling between the council and the employees, as far as I know. Between the city council. That's pretty singular. That's between the mayor and the employees where the problem comes in. And then the city council and the mayor, we squabble a little bit. But but the city council hasn't had any squabbles with employees.
And I think it's healthy for your council to disagree. Have you had any experiences with that over in Nephi, Seth?
Yeah, I mean, you know, councilors come in with different visions for the city. We have different ideas about what's good and what's bad. I know from my experience, I try to lead at what we call a visioning session every year before the budget. That is what sets the stage for your budget. And you guys try to come together in a visioning session for exactly what goals you want to accomplish. The budget is your financial picture of how to do that. But that's what that visioning session is meant to do, is to try and guide all the different visions. And you're going to have to recognize, because you have different opinions, some visions may make it to the top and others may not.
Yep.
Some may have to wait, but that's the point of that, is to try and lay it out on the table and say, what can we do and where do we agree? And how can we formulate that to in the budget this year? Can we make something happen that we all agree on? And that's kind of what the purpose of that is for. And yeah, city administrator, manager kind of facilitates that. They're meant to be there. We don't typically wade into the political realm. We just carry out whatever the policy is of the council. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be different opinions. And there can be more strong ones too.
With your experience, would you say roads is one of the hardest things to probably finance?
No doubt. There is never enough road funding in any city. So I'll just tell you that right now. That is a challenge in any city.
What would you recommend? Would you recommend we have a bond election and borrow the money, or our roads are pathetic.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you can do. The highway tax, we talked about the highway tax. You have that in place.
We have that, yep.
So that's a good one to have in place.
The only one we didn't have is the transient, and we're going to have a public hearing on that in 3 weeks, I think it is.
Okay, yeah.
To implement that.
Yeah, obviously your Class C road funds, you're going to want to make sure that is always updated with the state so that your road miles is always correct. There was another, authority that was verified recently with cities. There's about 13 or 14 cities in the state that implement what they call a transportation utility fee, where it's a fee on the utility bill that goes out specific to roads, and it's charged at different rates depending on the type of business or if you're a residential customer. The Pleasant Grove was sued over that recently, but the appeals court just verified that they can in fact do that and they have the right to do that. So they and all the other cities that implement that fee, that's another way to do it. Especially if your public agrees that your roads need a lot of help, that's just one way to fund it.
Yeah. But you'd probably have to go borrow the money and then pay it back with those.
Yeah, you could do that. Yep, absolutely. That could be a form of just debt coverage. Yep.
Your B&C allocation will likely increase soon too. There's a new formula being put in place. I don't know what your increase will be, but others I've talked to are getting somewhere in the ballpark of 20, mid-20s increase on their B&C open. Obviously that's not sufficient, but it is a substantial increase.
And then, you know, having just a road condition index of where you stand as a city and have each of your roads, you know, kind of categorized of what needs the most work. And then that's what ends up in your budget. And yeah, if you want to group a whole bunch of them together, borrow some money, get a bunch of it done, you get a better, you know, deal that way. It's an economies of scale when you can do it in a big chunk like that.
Well, no, that's how we had to fund the sewer project back.
Is there grants out there for roads?
Yeah, there's some funding too, the link I sent to you. So I actually participate on a subcommittee that's from the UDOT's Joint Highway Committee. They have a small urban category that cities just your size can apply for funds on, and a lot of the engineers are very familiar with that source, and they put in applications for you. It's a competitive grant, but that's another way you can fund, especially like major roads. If you've got a major thoroughfare, you know, for us it's 4th East. It goes from one end of the city to the other, and that's a major city road. It's a 99th right-of-way, bought a pavement. That's one we'll probably put in for at some point. But that's another source you could look at.
Yeah, definitely.
So how do you feed your road budget in NEPA?
I just keep hoping we sell gas. But it's actually part of a broader economic development strategy. We are trying to do things to invite people into our town, spend money on things just like that, and then head out. So we have been increasing our number of recreation tournaments. Maybe you've probably seen the Hive. That was part of the strategy of the Hive that we've got there, is that we're trying to invite tournaments to come into town, buy food, buy gas, buy groceries, and then head out again. They leave their tax revenue with them. So, and our highway tax has really bumped up. COVID was actually a blessing for us. We had one tournament prior to the COVID year, and then a bunch of cities closed down, and tournaments still wanted to come into town, and so we ended up getting four tournaments that year, and they were popular enough that we ended up with 14 next year. So we've maintained that number since that point in time, and so our sales tax just, and our highway tax, all that stuff just took a turn. So
when you say highway tax, you mean road tax within the city?
Yeah, the gas tax. The local highway tax, yep.
Which you do have in place already.
Yeah, that's your 0.3. How many gas stations do you have in town?
Three.
And then it's also on some other things too, so it's not just gas, but food and things like that. So if they come and spend money locally, that comes back to you. So it's just a broader economic development strategy, whatever. I don't know what you would formulate that. If I was your city administrator, that's one thing I'd look at, is what do you do as a town, and who do you serve? You know, is there a broader section of the county you serve? You'd wanna capitalize on stuff like that. What brings people to your town, that kind of thing.
Because we really do with all the cabinets and crap.
Like most towns, we like people to visit, not stay.
May I have a question?
Okay.
Can you refer to the presentation that Shay gave the original time for the pilot program? So now I'm confused. So he initially said you would be a partner share with another town for a city administrator. So is that off the table now? So is the thing that you have to now hire a full-time city administrator? Why are we shifting gears to a full-time and not the pilot program? I guess I'm confused as what is happening. Why are we having this public meeting if you already agreed to have the pilot program and to share an administrator, and now we're in a special meeting again to talk about it. So could you just explain to me where we're at with this?
So we took six county. They recommended us, and we accepted their offer to go under the pilot program for 6 months. And then the city council wanted to look at a full-time one. That's basically where we're at.
So you're still under the six?
We're under the six county till the end of June, and that's why my comment was, is there's no reason to hire anybody while we're still under six county.
But what have they done for you, and what have you asked them to do for you under the contract now?
So they've helped us, like the transient room tax, and we're going to have the public hearing on that, which will bring the 1%. That's the biggest thing. They've helped us on a couple of ordinances already that's coming out. We're going to have a public hearing again for the transient room tax, the no smoking. The power rates are going out of sight. We've got to do something there. We're going to have to go back to basically where it's a six-month average and your bill will go up according to what power rates do. So that'll be another public hearing held that night.
Provided revenue or potential funding sources for a boiler project.
Yeah.
And other recreation projects. We have a draft personnel policy. That's really what triggered the conversation, was that we were tasked to put together a new personnel policy. Based on how things would be structured, we changed the personnel policy. So if they were to hire a full-time city administrator, we would write the personnel policy differently than we would with just being part of the pilot. In addition, we did mention at the beginning that the funding through the legislature is not guaranteed for the program. So the structure of our program would change at the end of June as well. Those are some of the different factors that have.
How
difficult
would it be to change the
wording of
the personnel policy?
It's just, we could probably do it fairly easily. It's just, I don't know if I would recommend putting a full new policy in place one way, if within a couple of months you're potentially changing the way your town is dramatically, if that makes sense. Because then you're just making massive changes. But, I mean, if that's what the council wanted, we could propose a personnel policy, but it's going to be a ton of work for us, right, which we're willing to do as part of the pilot. But it's going to be a ton of work to build that personnel policy out, make sure everything's good, make sure it lines up with everything you already have in place, make sure that the council agrees with it, and they'll have to review it, we'll have to go through all those processes. And then by the end of that, we're probably looking at, we're close to the end of the pilot, and then is the council, I mean, it's a lot to, we can do it, but it would be a lot to put one in place and then flip it and do a full new policy.
Other questions?
So, I'm just wondering about, you sit on the budget, so when does Nephi start putting, I mean, I know, but I was on the council at one time, so every May, the mayor had to submit the budget to the council for, to start the process. Is that, I would suspect that's still in effect. So when do you start working on next year's budget?
So we've already started.
Well, I would suspect.
Yeah, I'm doing revenue projections now, and we're doing payroll projections tomorrow, starting that process anyway. And then we fill those in for the departments, and they have some leeway to change revenues, but the payroll figures are pretty much what they are.
Yeah.
And then they are able to fill in the rest of their department budgets that go eventually to me for approval, and then they go to council for review. So, but we're on a two-year budget cycle, so we're doing a two-year budget now, and next year we won't have to do the same process.
Oh, I should go. Okay.
So does council feel like the Six County has helped the city enough to extend them out or to look at an administrator or a manager? I mean, have you seen a change enough to where this should be extended?
Yeah, but our biggest thing is extended. Like you said, our biggest problem is that they're not able to be here every day. And that's where our problems are at. I mean, we got to have somebody that we've got a problem before they get both completely out of proportion. We need to be able to have somebody that has control and be able to take care of our problems on a day-to-day position. So
I think this pilot program is good, but after 6 months, it sounds to me like it's going to be over.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And if they've helped enough, then why not?
Or we could pay them to do it. Yeah.
And that's what will happen with the program. So in June, we'll provide a summary of everything that we've completed for the town, and they can decide if they want to move forward or not. And then if it is a pay-for-service structure, then they can decide what they want to pay for. And we have to accomplish that task to be paid for it. If it is funded at the legislature, then it would be similar to now, where we're just working with them on tasks that they bring up and bringing it to council meetings and that back and forth, but there's no charge for service. It's just a free.
So for now, they would be able to utilize you guys for free.
Yep.
But if at the end of June they decide to hire somebody, when it goes away, we would still have to possibly pay again for you to help another administrator or guide another administrator,
depending on the structure. So if we get funding from the legislature, we could still just help for free or for a very small fee. We don't, then it would be a fee for service. But if a full-time city administrator was hired on and they were very good and seasoned, it would be my hope that they would need guidance from our side.
So I have one more question. So this seems kind of strange to me that you're bringing this up in February, because you're set in the budget already and you don't do a new budget until July 1, is that correct?
Right.
So if you were to go to a full-time administrator, where are you going to get the money?
That's what we're saying. We're not to hire, well, put in place an administrator for 6 months on a trial basis that wouldn't cost us a dime more. If we put Dave in that position for 6 months and let him try it, see if he can handle it, we don't have to raise his pay. It's a trial basis for 6 months. And then after that, we can weigh the pros and cons. Is it going to work or not?
Does that negate your double eyes on the treasurer budget and money side of it? It seems to me that
that's what I was concerned about, doing both jobs.
Yeah.
That's what I was concerned about. I mean, we've already established the fact that a city manager or administrator makes enough money and saves enough money to pay for themselves. We've already, I mean, you can go to any city, and every city will tell you that.
Right.
That they bring enough money to the city to more than offset their cost. And my big concern is, for the last, we've been in this thing, this quagmire, for 7 years. And I'm just wondering, what is the best solution to get us out of this, as the lady out there said? You know, when can we stop this squabbling? How do we handle it? And that's what we're trying to deal with as a council. I mean, and you know, I want, in defense of the mayor, he's done a great job in other areas, getting water and doing some of the other things that he's done along the way. But I'll be right up front. I think personnel-wise, we've had a problem. And it's not just him. It happened with prior mayors. Handling the personnel, we have problems. Like we kind of, and so we're wondering, is administrator the answer to take pressure off and let the mayor do the other things that he does so well, and let the administrator run this city, or a manager? Is that, you know, is the public, you know, is going to have a say? We're going to have a public meeting before we'd ever hire either one of them. But that's what we're trying to do as a council, is trying to decide.
And that's why we're figuring we'll have the money to do it, is to be able to like put him in and then give it a trial and get, we've got to get things started now, because we're hurting. I mean, we've got to get things to where we can get a lot of this stuff straightened out and be a city and start doing what we need to do. So.
All right, heavens, we got departments now. I mean, that's the first time that's happened.
Yeah. I agree with all that too, but I think also financially, you know, I know this all ahead of time, just think everybody needs to get along, but financially, if it's going to help our city, you know, you have the aging people that are paying a power bill, which is difficult for them, then the increase on the power, which increases more because the pool is on there and on their gas bill has gone up. I know there's money that has, maybe if we had different eyes on that, like say the water that wasn't planned, that wasn't in the home, that wasn't charged because they went back to.
Right, yeah.
Things like that, if we could see that before it happened, that's money the city could have had in the city.
Right.
That wouldn't be passed on to the taxpayers.
Right, and I think.
And there's other things too. So I'm just saying maybe if someone could see those kind of things before they happened, that would save the city money and us the taxpayers.
And I think also too, yeah, I mean, look at the different cities. I mean, like, how many employees does a certain city do to run their departments and stuff? I mean, we need to look at the whole aspect. Are we paying too many people, or do we have enough? I mean, we got to look at that. We got to have time to make sure that we're doing the right thing, so.
I mean, when it comes down to it, don't you think like the main problem is with like HR personnel? That's really like what the main problem is.
You're right, yes.
So like, would it be better to outsource that rather than do everything else?
The biggest problem we got is the personnel policy is so outdated, you can't go off of it.
Yeah, there's and so there's like no rules.
Yeah, it is so outdated.
We have a question back here in the back. So.
So you're telling me that this problem that y'all can't solve, you're going to bring in somebody like the gentleman over here? and he's going to be the savior for this town. Is that what you're telling me? He's going to make all the decisions for y'all. There's one, two, three, four, five of you up there. I'm just asking the question.
Well, the problem is, we haven't been able to make decisions until after the thing's been done.
Why is that?
Well, the firing of Lynn, the firing of Jack Witherson, the fire, it never came to the council before it was done.
Well, who runs the city then?
Well...
No, I'm serious.
The mayor is supposed to run. And that's the biggest problem. When we have a full-time mayor, or I shouldn't say full-time, but when there was one here every day, we didn't have all these problems. But since we've got a part-time mayor, there's a lack of, it's just lack of supervision. Basically, HR, you're correct. HR, and it's a big problem. That you need somebody that's here to make sure everybody does their job and watch over them. And he could probably say the same thing. People need to be supervised whether they know their job or not, correct?
People are overstepping their boundaries, in my opinion. That's the sad part.
The mayor's basically a volunteer, so it's not like he gets this great paycheck for being the mayor. So for him to be here all day, every day, that's... We would have to pay the mayor more than, you know?
Yeah, he'd have to have more money, too.
The ones we had before didn't charge anyone. They paid the same. In fact, they just raised their salary from the last election, and they just come every day and did the job.
You would have to be able to afford that.
Yeah.
Well, there's people that can do it if they wanted to, but I think because of all what's going on, they just didn't want to get involved anymore.
Yeah.
Mayor, if I can, I'll speak to a couple of points. So it was brought up here that maybe we consider an outsource of talent, right? And so I won't recommend for or against current employees. Dave's been great to work with, and nothing against Dave. But for this process specifically, it might be best to at least open it up for application, right? That's not to say that you don't hire a current employee. They would be eligible to apply to the position.
The trouble again with that, though, is like going back to what Claudia says, you couldn't do it till after the pilot program or till July when we do a budget.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're having this conversation right now for a specific reason, right? I mean, you need to prepare now for then. It's not have the conversation in July when we're putting in place a budget. You have the conversation now so that we... Yeah.
Why do we have to wait for this to get over to make that decision?
July 1st is our budget.
Well, I understand the budget side of it.
So if you used to advertise and go out and hire, you'd have to adjust your budget. He can, but it's finding the money to adjust it.
You have a question, Jason?
So when I make my comments, I want everybody to know that I think the world of everybody here individually, because I've admired so many things about all of you at different times in that I've lived here, but collectively, there's some problems. I think everybody feels that in town to some degree. We have a tradition of someone stepping up and being mayor. I'm thinking of Chesley. And he was the full-time guy I think you were talking about.
Correct.
But with that said, it's really a great tradition on one hand, but on the other hand, it's a curse. Because whoever that is has to make a living. Now, he was retired, so that worked. So the problem is we create a situation where the mayor pool of candidates is really small, because there's this expectation that you donate all this time. It's not to say we don't have a good mayor. It's just, I'm just saying, Natalie's right. We have a volunteer who's acting as the CEO of a company with a $2 million budget. What's our budget?
10.
13 million.
13.
13.
We can combine it all.
With a company of 20, 25 people.
29.
With part-time leadership.
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't work. And so I get it. I mean, the road thing is a curse that started 3-4 generations ago when they stopped doing the chip seals.
Yep.
And that was all driven by, because in Sampi, we just do enough to get by.
Yeah.
Well, that's cost us a multi-million dollar project to fix. So what I'm saying is it's time to start shifting forward and plan for some professional help. And I want a guy like Seth. I want a guy with education. I want a guy with experience. And we want someone's going to be around for a while. We don't want someone's going to come and go. And I think that's our future. I think it's super important that as you as a council make sure there's a super delineation between the mayoral responsibilities and the city administrator. Because at the end of the day, I believe that's a good system. With the mayor, who we elect, has the final say. I like that.
Well, and if you take away that, then you're taking away the voice of the people.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's very important.
Yeah. So I think that's my opinion. I think that's something we need to look at. I believe that we're going to find the money to pay for this person, he or she, and it's going to be beneficial to us.
Kevin?
I appreciate the city council entertaining this decision that the city's been needing to do for a long time. I think you recognize that if you're saying you've watched it for 7 years, well, I've watched it for 12 or 14 years. What company that does $13 million would have part-time CEOs? Having somebody with boots on the ground, like Seth, I don't remember your last name.
Atkinson.
Having somebody like that, 40 hours a week, and generally that turns into 60 hours a week with an administrator, right? Am I correct?
You're correct.
Probably getting paid for 30. What company would invest all of that money in their equipment and their employees and do it with part-time help? These guys want to be out where they're listening public, where they can bring this information back to the city administrator. And he's got this time, that's his primary responsibility, to work on that every day. And what company would change CEOs every 2 to 4 years? That's asinine, but that's what we're doing. It takes 4 years to just figure out where things are. And you mentioned finding all these money resources. Mount Pleasant is in a perfect position for that. We're a city where people come directly. Kids in this area, believe it or not, they're traveling to Nephi, they're traveling to Lehi, they're traveling to Spanish Fork and Salem, where they have recreation programs. They have to go up there because we don't have these kind of situations going on here, and we have a wonderful recreation program and a recreation director. But you put that director with a city administrator who has the capability to provide budgets and see the revenue they can generate, it's endless what they can generate. We have an equestrian park, we have a swimming pool, we have recreation facilities that are unbelievable for a community this size, and we're trying to run them with part-time help. I would never trust my business to be changing hands like they do. And can you imagine from the city employees' point of view? Every 3 to 4 years, they get a new boss. What a pain in the butt. You know, there they've worked their guts out to establish good practices. They know the city inside and out, but yet then somebody comes along and throws a curve at them and wants to do everything different. We're missing an opportunity to be training. Instead of waiting till after it's over, we should have had somebody from the get-go. Well, we should have, but maybe it wasn't possible to have somebody from the get-go who people like this could mentor and give them ideas. And then at the end of that 6 months, they take it to the next level. It's foolish to think that hiring somebody to be here full time is going to cost us more money. They're going to make a lot more money than they ever cost to us. It's going to look like they're costing us X amount of dollars, but you think your revenue is $13 million, now you put an administrator in there, it's going to go up a lot more money. And it's going to be on the revenue side. I just think that it's time we get, you know, the city council and the mayor, they're the friends of the city. They're who we've elected. You put them in there so they can work for us, be the voice of us. But we're expecting too much of them to be the administrator. The handbook states, I'm kind of going back over my old notes, but the failure to have written administrative rules and policies is one of the main causes of contention in cities and towns. Very often, disputes arise over what authority has been delegated to the city council. These disputes can be about the authority to spend money without prior council approval, power to direct employees, and who is in charge here anyways fast. The only way to avoid these disputes is to adopt clear written policies and rules that are run through an administrator. He's the buffer zone between the city council, the city employees, and the list goes on and on. I appreciate what you're trying to do for a city, both of you. And you know, the other thing is, you know, it's a good idea to put out applications. But you've got people here that's been here for years, and they've tolerated all this stuff. They know the ins and outs of this city because of many years of experience. Now, if you can find somebody that has more on the administrative side, then that just means they've got more, they've got people that could really given the information they need to accomplish what they're trying to do. So my suggestion would be to quit trying to figure out why this is all happening and recognize why it is, because the manager or the city administrator could eliminate all of that. And by ordinance, you can assign what responsibilities that you want them to have. You can create any person that's capable of doing whatever. And take that load off the mayor and the city council. That, they got to feel guilty every night when they go to bed because they don't have enough time to do what they know needs to be done. And I envy you for trying it and trying to do it, but you're fighting a losing battle because it never ends. And you can't have somebody that's spending enough time to solve all those problems, but you can sure have somebody here full time.
Thanks. Thanks. I just want to clarify something first before you get started, Jeff. When I came in here just about 7 years ago, Kevin can testify, I talked about a city manager then. I talked about, because I could see the problems and everything, and I thought, we need a city manager. We need somebody to, or an administrator. I'm not sold either way at this particular moment. But I could see this with the problems we had before. I mean, it's a tough job, and I myself personally appreciate what Mike's done and tried to do. But like Kevin said, it just can't be done. And this city's growing, and we're going to grow in leaps and bounds in the next 2 or 3 years. And we just want to get ahead of the curve and get done what needs to be done, so that when it does come at us, we're ready for it. And we got a person that can help us as a council and help the mayor
and helping citizens and move this city forward.
I think also we need to be careful who it is we hire. I was on the council back in the early 90s and we had a city manager. He didn't do his job. It was a bad deal. So you really have to get that person that's going to do the job.
Well, you found with the city managers, this was a stepping stone because we're not a big city. So they'd be here 1-2 years, they'd be moving up north somewhere. It's just, that was just a fact. And then there was one that wasn't, like Paul said, I was on the council at that time, is that he wasn't good.
Jeff, you had a comment?
I did. Dan has a good point. I'll just start off with that. I have a little bit of knowledge of other cities that do the city administrators. There's only a few cities by state law that actually have city managers, and so that's a conversation that we really don't have the ability to go to in the first place here. But as a city administrator, what Dan's talking about is they do come and go every bit as much as elected officials do. It's just the way it is. Some do stick it out for a while, but overall, when you do the research, these city administrators are coming and going 2, 3, 4, 5 years max, some of them. They're not sticking around. They're looking for better place to go make money. Which brings up my point of why I'm going to say the opposite of Kevin, and Kevin's probably not surprised at this. But I don't agree at all. I do not think we need a city administrator in any way, shape, or form. What our municipal code tells us, it outlines our duties as city council and mayor. We have, when you read the code, it tells us what your duties and responsibilities are individually. Our form of government here, we actually have a choice of a couple of forms of government. But the one that our town has is a 6-member council with a mayor having the not a veto power, but he has the ability to vote on a tie vote, and he has the ability to, and he runs these meetings, and he sets the agenda, and he has full authority over all the employees. That's the way it is written in the code. The council also have some administration responsibilities in the code already set aside. When we sign up, which I've done, Kevin's done, Dan's done, there's been a lot of people in here that have done it. When you sign up to run for city council and you get elected for city council, you accept those responsibilities. So you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice whether you're going to do a good job with your position, the best that you can with your position, or you don't. And so when I was on city council, I will agree with Kevin with this. I spent hours and hours and hours researching what my responsibilities were and what I was supposed to do. Sometimes that causes contention because of a difference of opinion on how you want to get to the end result. But when you understand that the mayor runs this town, he's the chief executive officer, and he has the agenda that he sets, and then because of a majority of the vote, because your opinion doesn't actually go with someone else's, and you vote 3-2 or 4-1 or 5-1 or whatever it is, you have to accept that your idea didn't go through. And that is the agreement of working for the people in a voluntary position. If we hire an administrator at $100,000 a year, it's just a ballpark number, what is his motivation to always do the right thing for the elect, for the vote, for the citizens of the town that are voting over here? His motivation, by design of our United States Constitution, from a paid representative, is usually the money. Where the motivation for volunteer administrators, which you guys already are by code, is the motivation to satisfy the community for doing the right thing in their behalf. This is why I'm totally against a paid, high-paid administrator, because I don't think it benefits us right now. The population of this town has not increased over 700 people in over 100 years. That's a fact with the census. Look it up. Our growth here has been up and down, up and down. Right now we're sitting around 3,600 people. In 1900, we were sitting almost 3,000 people. Our six-member council and mayor has run this city for almost 100 years. And I'm sure they've had times they haven't gotten along. It just is, because we're all human and we're all people and we have difference of opinion. But in the end result, we know what our responsibility is. And the responsibility comes with you, all six, to find a way to do the right thing for the citizens of this town without pay. Yeah, I know you get a little bit of pay, but we won't talk about it because it's not much. It's just a little bit. But it's your obligation, it's your responsibility, and the way we can fix this, in my opinion, is if you, members of this council, including the mayor, are having trouble in running this city, well, this is an election year. We have an opportunity to change three of you this year if you don't want to do it anymore. We get new people in here. They help take on responsibilities, new ideas, and it helps solve this problem. If any of you, some of you already know this because you've come in an a year that there was an election, it was something that we had to appoint. And so, if you don't want to do the job, step down. Let's do special elections. Let's get people in here that'll do the job. And that's the way I feel about it.
And I totally disagree. I think we're doing our job. That's why we're having this discussion. That's part of our job. Have this discussion and weigh out the pros and cons.
Because if we, like some of our problems, if we don't get ahead of them, they're going to keep growing. Times are different now than they was 100 years ago.
The Constitution is the same now as it was when it was done in 1776. And this country still runs that way. Our city council can do the same thing. Our city can do the same thing.
Most cities have a city manager.
A lot don't.
Very few don't. And they're not cities that have hospitals and schools and recreation and all of this.
That's not true, Kevin, because in Apple Valley, California, 50,000 people, they do not have an administrator there or city manager.
But they
stopped
trying to go with
my daughter.
Yeah, they do have a good
mayor. Well, I know now if they have a good mayor. And all it has to do is a will. It comes from yourself. Mike has a lot of things he's doing, but he did say he would do this job. And he was elected to do the job by the people. So that means that's what he's supposed to do. And that means the same thing with the council.
He's trying to do this job.
Shay, what did you have? I know you, we kind of cut you off there.
A lot of other points have been brought up, but I'm just going to mention, as far as our role in this discussion, part of the reason, on top of the personnel policy triggering the discussion, as our pilot has developed, it's become apparent that towns of this size, we just can't, like, I already mentioned it, but part-time help is, in my position, it's just not enough, right? So you guys have so many needs from that needs assessment. I know that you have more past that needs assessment. We'll continue to work with you to fulfill those things as we can, but a full-time city administrator might be able to more effectively carry out all of those tasks that are related to needs of the town. So ultimately it's up to the council and the mayor, right, to make the decision. And one way or the other, we'll still work with you on those things. But just wanted to say that.
Okay.
Did you say there's a chance the state would pay the cost? Is that dead or?
There's still a chance, yeah. So we'll know by the end of this week, likely, if they funded the position or not. So we could potentially get two more full-time employees at the AOG. We could potentially get one more full-time, or we could potentially receive no funding. Those are kind of the options in the air right now. At the beginning of the session, we were getting ranked very high, and that it was looking very likely that we'd get two full-time. And then just this last week, it dropped all the way out, and it was looking like we were going to get any funding. And now there's negotiations going on, so there's potential that we could once again get full funding, partial, or none. We just don't know.
You don't know until the very last minute, because I know, like, for our grant we got from the state on the arena, it was like 11 o'clock at night when that finally got thrown back in and passed. So you won't, there's no way of knowing.
Well, like right now, we would be crazy if we didn't use your expertise.
Right.
I mean, that's just common sense.
Yeah, and regardless of your choice, we'll continue to help you. That's not, if you choose to hire an administrator, we don't plan to leave. We'll still provide services, and if you choose not to, we'll stay and provide services. But what I'm saying is if you don't hire somebody and we stay, from my perspective, there's way more work to be done than we'll be able to provide, right? And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to hire an administrator, but you're just accepting that reality that you're going to have to find other ways to deal with that, whether that's working with current staff or taking on more responsibilities as council and mayor or whatever it might be. But that's kind of that conversation.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions, comments?
Mayor, I wanted to point out one more thing if I could. I did make some phone calls this week. I talked to a few people, and I don't know if I should name names, but some of your supervisors, well, a couple of them, Shane and Coulter, are not for city administrators. They feel like having a go-between between them and you and the city council would not benefit them at all. And I didn't get to talk to the police chief about it. I was going to, but I didn't get to. I don't know where he stands on this.
Okay.
I think it would be good if they had somebody to go talk to. You guys aren't always available, or
right.
Somebody else is here because they could go discuss things with, and then
right.
They could discuss it with you. Because it's not working the way it is.
There has to be somebody here. There has to be, whether it's whoever it is, there has to be somebody full-time that can keep the staff running the way they're supposed to be run. That's the biggest problem, I think, is the lack of supervision for the staff. Is they don't have somebody, you know, going to check it on their projects or whatever and seeing what's going on. I'm not going to just put stuff out, but I've heard stories where people just go and they leave and then they clock in and leave and then come back just before the mayor comes back. It's like there has to be somebody here to watch and be observant of what's going on.
And there's too much. He said, no, he said, no, I didn't, you did. Somebody needs to get it together. You need a mother.
Hey, there you go. You volunteer?
Hell no.
Did you have anything else on that, Shay?
No, just I don't think you need to make a motion.
No, we're not. We're not doing anything.
We're not
doing
anything.
No, nothing.
This has got to have some thought.
We did want to talk to you a little bit about the CIB grant since you was here tonight. So we put three on the application. Yeah.
What are your questions?
So we debated about kind of a little bit about which one we should put on or which one we should pull off, I guess. So kind of had four things that we was thinking about. Kind of wanting your opinion on it a little bit. The one that we was debating about whether pull off is we put on there for the, well, a couple, I guess I should say, the road mastery plan, whether we pull it off and see if we get UDOT funding in the fall. Also, the sewer master plan, where it's going and going with the, knowing that we're going to have to line that third cell real soon. If we just try to pull that off so we don't go after CIB money and go after DEQ money. Kind of some thoughts there of what you think.
So I would start with your timeline on them. So for your road master plan, if you're okay to wait, so UDOT TPA grant's probably going to end in December of 2023, right? I think last year it closed on the 8th of December.
8th or the 15th, usually.
Yeah, somewhere around there. So if you're fine to wait that long, I mean, if you put a project on the CIB list now, it becomes eligible for CIB in June of 2023, October of 2023, and February of 2024, right? And so you'd essentially already be waiting until the end of this year for UDOT, for potential UDOT funding. And then if you didn't get that funding, the only trimester that you'd be able to go to is the last trimester of the current, or of the upcoming CIB year, which would be February of 2024. So essentially, if you're putting on this list, but you're planning to pursue UDOT funding, you would just be putting on the list for a potential application in February of 2024. Otherwise, if you didn't get UDOT TPA and you didn't put on the list for this current year, then you have to get on the list for the next year, and your next eligible trimester would be June of 2024. So you'd be waiting that additional 6 months-ish. But I would recommend, if it's potentially going to happen in the next three trimesters, to put it on the list. It's not going to hurt anything to have it on the list.
The biggest thing is we've got four items, and so it's like we can only put the three on the list.
I don't see a problem putting the fourth item on.
I thought Tyler said that we can only have three.
They don't like you to have more, but it's fine. We can put the four.
We could put the four on.
I can talk with Ty about it tomorrow if you would like me to verify.
Should we make just a priority list in case it's a cut down to three?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I can verify with Tyler tomorrow and make sure, but I don't think...
Because that was the impression me and Dave was under, that we could only put three on the list.
I don't think
so.
We'll be limited to that. I think you'd be fine with four, but I can verify in the morning for you.
Okay. So we had the park...
Recreation
master plan.
All right.
A sewer headworks screen project.
Okay. So we've had the master plan down on that, and that's the results coming out of it.
But likely that would be funded by DEQ, and like goes back to CIB doesn't like to be an alternative, better funding competition.
Okay. So your sewer headworks, your roads master.
And drainage.
Okay. And one or the other.
And then possible fire
station
expansion or new fire hall.
Okay.
And the rec impact fee basically is what it'd be. Parks rec.
They can impact fee study?
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if CIB typically funded impact fee study.
Well, the recreation master plan.
So, which would then get into the impact fee part of it.
Okay. And you would prioritize which of those three over the fourth?
I would suggest you drop the sewer plan with the assumption that they would like to be just a shopping source for that rate. That'd be the advice I'd give.
Council's opinion?
I heard a rumor. I hope it's a rumor. Did you hear anything from the irrigation company about Price filing a lawsuit against the irrigation company?
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing that.
That's putting a halt with JUB.
It's not putting a halt on our project yet. They're actually going after Pleasant Creek owns water across on the other side, and they're actually trying to get the irrigation company to get that going, get the pipeline, come back through the canal so we could store that all winter. I have that storage right on that. It's what they're trying to really do now. And Palmer's has got a storage right already coming, Palmer's and Stewart's, that can be stored. And then the other thing on the irrigation, JUB did get notified that they got more funding for the engineer, so it looks like we will get changed to the EIS status. We haven't got the official word yet, but with the funding being approved, we're almost guaranteed, is what JUB's told us, so.
You might want to talk to Mark.
Yeah.
From what I understand, it's put a hold on it, everything.
Well, yes and no.
As far as the.
Yeah.
The storage.
As long as the narrows water coming across, yeah. But like I said, they're trying to get the irrigation company to get going on bringing the, there's an old pipeline that comes out of Staker Canyon that hasn't been used. If they get that coming, then that can be stored. What Palmer's gets coming from the other side of that can be stored.
What's Price trying to do, stop it?
They're trying to stop it, yeah.
Because we didn't build the dam over there.
That's what they're trying to push is so that part, but. Going back to CIB, any thoughts, anything? You're good with putting that as number four?
Yeah, I would say.
I think so.
Put down everything you can put down there, just plant the seed.
Okay.
Oh, you took notes tomorrow.
Okay.
Anything else in CIB?
Nope, I think that's it.
Thanks for the discussion.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to ask if there's anybody out here that's got any more to say.
Yeah, anybody else, questions, comments?
Anybody got any more to say? Then I make a motion that we adjourn.
Oh, you're good. I'll second that motion.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Go fight wind.